It was a riddle, not a command, by Joseph de Monde. Chapter 18. When was Yeshua born? Page 77. Should we keep birthdays? Many times I am asked if it is okay to celebrate a birthday. So many people want nothing to do with the day a person was born. They associate it with an evil or pagan thing. But is that correct? Yom Teruah, the day of shouting, is about the day the Messiah was born, and it is the announcement he has arrived. Stop and ask yourself if Yahuwah would really send the Messiah on just any old day. The answer is a resounding no. As you just read, many of the holy days have one or more meaningful events take place on them. Those events and those things Yahuwah does are always done on the holy days. Passover, the day Yeshua was killed. The days of unleavened bread, removing sins from our lives, or sin from our lives. Wave sheaf day, the day Yeshua ascended to heaven as a wave offering, and taking those saints with him who were brought back to life at this time. Pentecost Sunday, the day the law was given at Mount Sinai, and the same day the Holy Spirit was given in the book of Acts. The Feast of Trumpets, the day Yeshua came as an infant child, his birthday. The Day of Atonement, the day Satan is locked away. The Feast of Tabernacles, the wedding feast of the bride to Yahuwah the King. And finally, the eighth day feast, the Great White Throne Judgment. Yom Teruah is the day the Messiah was born, and is also the day upon which he will come at the end of the sixth millennium, and again at the end of the seventh millennium, just before the eighth begins. Christians celebrate his birth on December the 25th, or Christmas, but completely miss the meaning of the actual day. Yom Teruah is the birth of Yeshua. I'm going to go over those verses that lead up to that very important time when the angels were blowing their shofars so as to announce it. The day of blowing. Have you ever blown those little party horns on someone's birthday? You're doing the very thing Yahuwah commanded to be done on the day Yeshua was born. This day, known as the blowing of trumpets or the day of shouting for joy, is recorded in the Gospel of Luke as the angels praise God at his birth. Yahuwah set apart a special day for the day his son would be born. And the angels said to them, "Do not fear, for behold, I give to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For to you is born today in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Luke 2, verses 10 to 14. Let us revisit the story of the birth of the Messiah to gain a clearer understanding. Since many took in hand to draw up an account concerning the matters which have been borne out among us, even as those who from the beginning delivered to us, becoming eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, following all things accurately from the very first, to write to you in order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you might know the certainty of those things in which you have been instructed. In the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Luke 1, verses 1 to 5. Many use the course of Abijah to teach about the birth of the Messiah. Let's take a look at it briefly. The course of Abijah. How many of you have heard of the course of Abijah? Did you know it is one of the only ways to accurately date the birth of Yeshua in the Bible? 95% of Americans will celebrate the birth of Christ this year, so I thought some might be interested in the biblical case for the timing of the birth of Yeshua, our Messiah. Most are familiar with the story of the birth of Christ from Luke 2, but it is actually Luke 1 that provides the means by which the timing of the birth of Yeshua can best be determined. In Luke 1, we have the story of Zacharias the priest and his wife Elizabeth. Zacharias and Elizabeth were well on in years and without children. As it is told in Luke 1, Zacharias was performing his duty in the temple When a messenger angel appeared and informed of the fact they would have a son and were to name him John, needless to say, Zacharias was somewhat incredulous, considering their respective ages. As punishment for his disbelief, but also as proof of his message, the angel rendered Zacharias unable to speak until the day the message was fulfilled. The passage then goes on to say Elizabeth conceived after Zacharias's temple service had ended. 6 months later, Mary, the mother of Yeshua, conceived. Zacharias then performed his priestly service once again during the course of Abijah, which fell during the latter part of the fourth month. From this account, it is a simple matter to determine the general time of the birth of Yeshua. The chart below gives the priestly courses in relation to the conceptions of Elizabeth and Mary. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Luke 1 verses 35 to 37. On the next page, the chart can be found entitled Priestly Courses, which includes Biblical Month Names, Babylonian Month Names, Priestly Course Names, Historical Event and Name Meanings. Look at this chart again with reference to the seventh month when Yeshua was to be born. According to the chart, and bearing in mind the idea, it is accurate. They have Yeshua being born prematurely in the second week of the seventh month, and not at the end of the 9 months required for a normal healthy pregnancy. What never occurs to most people is Adar Bet. Adar Bet is the 13th month in the calendar. Adar Bet is added approximately every 3 years so as to best facilitate the holy days, occurring in accordance with their proper seasons. In other words, a leap year. Is it possible to have a leap year in these courses of the priestly duties? Yes, it is. Was the year Yeshua born a leap year? You cannot use the current Hebrew calendar for this calculation, as it had not yet been instituted. This calendar did not come into effect until the 12th century, Common Era. Unfortunately, we have no real way to be certain if a leap year had occurred the year of Yeshua's birth or not. But let's take another look at the chart above. Yeshua was born at the end of 9 months, or the ninth month, that is to say, not at the beginning of it, and not after 8.5 months on Sukkot. He was born after 9 complete months. When Adar Bet is added after the month of Adar, then the birth of Yeshua comes at the end of the ninth month, on the first day of the seventh month. This is the first of Tishri, or Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets. The feast that is known as the day and hour no man knows. Just as no one knows the day and the hour a childbirth is to take place. You know the time is close, but you just do not know what day, and then suddenly the contractions begin unexpectedly. Childbirth usually occurs about 38 weeks after conception. In women who have a menstrual cycle length of 4 weeks, this is approximately 40 weeks from the start of the last normal menstrual period, LNMP. If you count the weeks from the precise week Mary became pregnant or conceived, you can see that by the end of the month of Tishri, only 36 weeks have come to pass. And yet she gives birth after 38 weeks. Now, let us add one Adar Bet or a leap month. But bear in mind, even after having done that, there is one more thing everyone is still missing. Elizabeth was in her sixth month. It was still the sixth month and not the start of the seventh, as the chart is showing you, and most people then consequently begin to count from. You have 4 weeks in that sixth month to work from. Mary is told this news during the sixth month. After this news, she departs in haste to go and see Elizabeth, and by the time she gets there, Mary is already pregnant. All of this happens during the seventh month. So was it the first, second, or third week? You are about to prove it for yourself. Now, let us count the weeks from the beginning of the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Tevet, the 10th month, 4 weeks. Shivat, the 11th month, 8 weeks. Adar 1, the 12th month, 12 weeks. Adar 2, the 13th month, 16 weeks. Nisan, the 1st month, 20 weeks. Layar, the 2nd month, 24 weeks. Sivan, the 3rd month, 28 weeks. Tammuz, the 4th month, 32 weeks. Av, the 5th month, 36 weeks. Elul, the 6th month, 40 weeks. We can then assume that the 6th month was half over and that Mary conceived in the middle of the 6th month. 38 weeks later takes you to the end of the month of Elul and the birth of Yeshua on the 1st of Tishri, the Feast of Trumpets. Just as we quoted, our source above said it would be 38 weeks after conception. Suffice it to say, we know in all certainty, Yeshua was not born on December the 25th. And we also now know he was not born on Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. And they were both righteous before God, walking blameless in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord. And they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in their days. And it happened in his serving in the order of his course before God, according to the custom of the priests. It was his lot to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and all the multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of incense. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him as he was standing on the right of the altar of incense. And seeing this, Zacharias was troubled, and fear fell on him. But the angel said to him, "Do not fear, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you shall have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall neither drink wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb." Luke 1, verses 6 to 15.